from friends to inspirational truths. A time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, listen, He wants to be yours. If He isn't yours, He came to be yours, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Look, friend, I was in that category one day. If that's where you're at today, you can be changed. You can be taken out of the lost category and put in the found category in light of what Jesus has done at Calvary. If you just are willing to realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. Listen, friend, He'll make a new creature out of you. Well, I hope this finds you well. Do know that it finds you blessed, and Debbie and I are excited, as always, about the program, always about the privilege that the Lord has given us and you have given us, inviting us into your life, into this time. Friend, listen, you could have chosen many things, but we're happy that you chose to spend a few moments of time with us thinking about eternal issues, friend. We're talking about eternal things as we look at the Word of God. Well, I've turned my Bible to the book of Romans chapter 1, right after the book of Acts, right before the book of 1 Corinthians, the book of Romans chapter 5. But before I give you the message, Debbie's going to do a song, one of our favorites. The title of it is Saved by His Grace. Hey, can I tell you, that's the only way that anybody can be saved is by grace. Through faith, you want to see that. Be back in a moment of time.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believed. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness, no longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace with Him. Short of His glory, by His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved. I'm saved by His grace. Saved by His grace.
You can be saved that way too. In fact, it's the only way to be saved, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. And the Word of God is replete. I mean to tell you, it's repetitive in what it says about how we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith. Thank you, Debbie, for that beautiful song. One of my favorite that you have done, of all those you have done, one of my favorites. In the book of Romans, we're going to see this played out in some degree, what Debbie's saying about it. The book of Romans, chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 and read down through and include verse 11. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said, and I'll set this all up in just a moment, the Lord willing. He said, For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us, by the way. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But listen to this, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, be now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, boy, I like that, don't you? Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Boy, you talk about shouting ground, there it is. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want to talk to you a little while today about reasons to rejoice. Look at what he said in verse 11. He said, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. When Paul got to this verse of Scripture, he looked back across the verses that he had just written. He said, wait just a minute. The Holy Spirit said, Paul, tell them that we joy in the Lord. We've got reasons to rejoice, friend. What a joy it is to know who Christ is and what God has allowed Him to do on my behalf and on your behalf. Friend, listen, if you aren't saved, you can be today. And God's going to tell us how. We're going to look at three things, at least three things in this passage. We're going to look at what we were, we're going to look at what we are, and we're going to look at why we are. Boy, I'll tell you what, listen, God has done some great things for the sinner, has He not? None of us deserve it. He didn't do it because we deserved it. He did it because we needed, friend. Listen, we needed a Savior. We needed a Deliverer. And God has given us one through His Son. So let's skip down through these verses and first of all see what we were. But wait just a minute. Let's see how we got here. When we begin to look at this book of Romans, Paul does an amazing job in the book of Romans. I'm telling you, it's one of the greatest books that there is in the entire Word of God. And Paul opens the book up in the first three chapters, convincing the heathen, the Hebrew, and or the hypocrite and the Hebrew, that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. That's what he said in chapter 3, verse 23, for all sin that comes short of the glory of God. He made sure we knew in that chapter that there's none righteous, no, not one, that we're in trouble because, friend, we live in a fallen world, and it's fallen because the fall of Adam and Eve. He goes on to tell us, friend, how that we are justified. And you know what he says? He said, whether you're Abraham or David in chapter 4, we're justified by faith, not by the works that we do, not by law that we live by or seek to keep. Listen, when Jesus or when God gave the law to Moses, way back there at Mount Sinai, He didn't give it to the nation of Israel to see that they could be saved. He gave it to them to cause them to realize how great a sinner they are and how great a need they have for a Savior. And God knew who He was going to send. He was going to send His Son to save anyone and everyone to put their trust and faith in Him. So chapter 4 illustrates through the life of Abraham and David, friend, that they were not justified by their works, but they were justified by their faith in the sight of God, but their works in the sight of men justified them in the sight of men, or proved, if you will, that they were justified. Now when we step into chapter 5, you know what we have here? Bless God, we've got the benefits of justification. Boy, Paul does an amazing job in presenting them, does he not? And I want to break into it. I want to look at verse 6 and down through verse 11, just like I've read in your hearing, and pick up some things. And I want you to look how Paul emphasizes this. He uses the phrase, we were, we were, we were, we shall be, we have been. Hey, I want us to highlight, I want us to look at those kind of things that we do. So look, let's first of all realize what we were in this passage. You know what else this passage does before I begin to look at it? This passage does two amazing things, and they are so amazing that I just want to shout. My room's not very big where my study is and where I do this program, but I like to run around the room a time or two. You say, why, preacher? Because this passage of Scripture gives us the assurance of our salvation. Thank God, I'm glad I'm saved and know I'm saved, and I'm glad I'm saved and know that the devil and all the demons in hell cannot do anything about it. I'm glad that I've got the assurance of salvation. I'm glad that God, when I got His Son, gave me eternal life, because eternal life is in His Son. And if I'm in His Son and His Son is in me, that means I've got eternal life. And whether you, sir, or you, ma'am, realize that or not, you'll be happy one day if you're saved to find out that that's exactly what you've got. I say glory, hallelujah about that. I'm not only seeing in this passage that I've got the assurance of my salvation, but I've got the assurance of deliverance from the wrath to come. Isn't that amazing? There's a lot of people, friend, that don't understand the rapture and eschatology, or future end time prophecy, as I see it in the Word of God. The Bible tells us that He's going to save us from the wrath to come, and that ought to be enough to make a Baptist shout. I'm here to tell you, friend, we don't have to go through it, because Christ went through it. He died for our sin. He suffered our separation from God. Excuse me. He endured our shame and the pain that went with our death. And oh, friend, when He died at Calvary as our substitute, He not only died for us, but He died as us. And I say, thank God for that. Now look, let's look first of all at what we were. You know what we were according to verse 6? There was a time when we were without strength. What's that mean, preacher? It means none of us could do anything for ourselves to be saved. We were lost and undone. We were in bondage of sin. We were in bondage, friend, as a fallen creature. We had been separated from God. I mean to tell you, look, we were in deep trouble because we did not have a Savior, and yet we needed one. That's what we are. That's what we were. We were without strength. Listen, friend, I don't care what kind of work that we tried to do, what kind of effort we tried to present. You know what? We would find out And maybe you did, that wasn't enough. Didn't matter what you tried to do, it was never enough. Bless God to meet that holy standard that God had established for mankind to be acceptable before God, to be reconciled to God, and for them to have an atonement with God, friend. We were without strength. We may have known that we were lost, known that we needed Savior to be saved and needed hence a Savior. But we were without strength to provide one, to be one. But oh, thank God, I'm glad to know how that one was found. Look in verse 8, he says this. He said, while we were sinners. That's what we all were, friend, without Christ. Now, I'm not here to offend anybody, but if you've not been saved according to the Word of God, that's not my opinion. That's not my thought about you. I'm just here as an ambassador of Christ, telling you what God knows about you. I was in that category before April the 23rd, 1974. And if you've never bowed before God Almighty, whether it be an altar of prayer at home, in a bed, on the side of a mountain, under a mountain, in a hospital room, in a jail cell, doesn't matter where, and you've not told God that you're a sinner and you need to be saved, That's how God sees us. There are only two classes of people in this life. One is a sinner, the other is a saint. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, friend, we're born with a fallen nature. That's what we were. And you know what we did? We proved that we were by sinning. Even little babies that don't know the difference between right and wrong will lie through their gumless teeth. You hear me? I mean, to tell you, they'll lie. They'll scream and cry, make you think that a bear has gotten bed with them and trying to eat them up. How about you go turn your head around that corner and they'll look at you, start drooling and grinning and saying, boy, I got you. I just missed you. I was just lonely. I want to be held. Hey, listen, we were sinners. And listen, to what else he said, he gets a little heavier in verse 10. We were enemies of God. Isn't that something? We had enmity, even the Word of God tells us. When we were enemies with God, isn't that a shame? The Bible would even tell us the word that it uses. If you define it, it says that even we hated God. Oh, we may have not have thought it, but we acted like it. Everything we did was against the principles of God, against the grace of God, against the goodness of God. But oh, aren't you glad the news doesn't stop there? That's what we were. But let me tell you what we are. Let me tell you what we are, friend, because of what Jesus has done. Listen, if you're saved, say amen. If you've nailed it an altar of prayer, repented of your sins, and told God that you believe that Jesus died and that He arose and that you want to live for Him, hey, you're saved. Listen to what He said about what we are and what we shall be. In verse 9, He said, look then. He said, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, friend, listen, we're justified by the grace of God. We're justified in light of what Christ did at Calvary. And I'll tell you more about that if I don't run out of time in just a minute. But I'll tell you, we're not what we used to be. Glory, hallelujah. Hey, if we've been saved, we're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hey, we're saved from the wrath of God. When we get saved, listen, friend, we're delivered. We're delivered from three things in relation to sin. We're delivered from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one day, thank God, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. But oh, look, there's a thought in that too, that when the tribulation comes, when the time that God has designed to test all the world, had to send forth the time of Jacob's trouble, we as believers in Christ, how we'll be gone. We'll be spared from that time. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 10. He said, look, not only were we saved, but we were reconciled to God. Isn't that amazing? I mean to tell you that means that we were brought back together. I mean to tell you that the enemy of God was reconciled to God. God wasn't reconciled to man. Man was reconciled to God. God didn't have to be turned around. Man had to be turned around. Man had to be changed. And God found a way to do it through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, friend, look, that enmity, that anger, that hatred that man has against God, towards God. Hey, listen, man and God have been brought together through what Christ has done. That thing has been fixed up. We so to speak, have made up, if you will. And I've got the reason because of that in just a minute. And not only that, you know, not only, friend, listen, were we reconciled to God, we shall be saved. Isn't that amazing? That's what the Word of God says. We shall be saved. Continually is what that means, by the life that He lives. I'm glad for that. I'm glad, bless God, that I know Jesus died for me to save me, and He lives to keep me saved. And I want to say glory, hallelujah, over that. Look at verse 11. He said, not only that, but we joy. Oh, we've you've got something to rejoice in. If your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, if your sins are under the blood, if you've been sealed with the Spirit of God, you've got reason to rejoice today. Just rear back and say glory. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul said to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Now look, preacher, we've looked at what we were because we've received the atonement. Let's find out why we are. Well, I like this. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 tells us that we're saved, that we have reason to rejoice, that we've been reconciled to God, that we've been justified, declared just while we're still in a sinning state. Listen to what he said in verse 6. Look at what he said. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for me, sir. He died for you, ma'am. Oh, He died for the whosoever wills. He died for every sinner, great or small. He died for every sinner, man, woman, boy or girl. He died for every sinner, regardless of how gross or great or how seemingly minimal your sins were and maybe are and are if you're lost without a doubt. How but Christ died for us. Christ died for us. The Word of God says in verse 9, how that He died. Or in verse 6, that He died for the ungodly. Isn't that amazing? You know what else He said in verse 8? God commended or manifested His love toward us. He made it known. Now listen to me, sinner friend. You may question and doubt many things that you hear preachers say about God and what He's done and what He is. But you cannot deny how that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, listen, friend. It is a historical fact that there is a empty tomb. Bless God, still outside the city walls of the city of Jerusalem in a place called Israel. And I'm telling you, you may have never fallen yet under the power of His love. You've never yet maybe received His grace. You may never yet have been able to be declared righteous by the grace of God. But I'll tell you what, you cannot question the fact that Christ commended His love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You may deny it. You may go through hell, listen, regretting that you have denied it. But I'll tell you what, you cannot change the truth. Look at verse 9. You know what else He said? He said, we've been reconciled to God. We've been brought together. Our friendship has been fixed up. And as a matter of fact, there has been an atonement made. Isn't that amazing? I mean, to tell you, listen, at one moment, that's what atonement can be simply defined as being at one moment. Look, where I was away from God, where I'd turned my back on God, where I ran away from God because I was a sinner, God sent His Son to die in my place, to suffer my sin, to endure my shame, to take of the pain that He had and to endure even my eternal separation from God. But all in His Son Jesus Christ, He's found a way to redeem me, found a way to reconcile me, found a way to justify me, found a way to save me, found a way to keep me saved. How wonderful that is. Hey, I've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son. How about you? Oh, sinner friend, I know what it is to live a life without peace, a life that's filled with dread, a life that knows that there's eternity looming. And one day, you'll have to stand before God to give an account of what you've done with Jesus in your life. But all, you can be made one today. You can be delivered from your sin, from their penalty, from the power of them. And one day, by the grace of God, from their presence, you say, what I got to do, preacher? All you got to do is trust Christ as your Savior. The Bible said, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Look, friend, let me tell you what we are without Christ. We're sinners. We're lost. We're headed for a devil's hell. We're doomed for eternity, friend. We have no hope. We have no peace. Hey, we have no life. But let me tell you, because of what Christ did, because of the life that He lived, the death that He died, and listen to this, the life that He continues to live, He died to save me. He ever lives, friend, to keep me saved. And as long as Jesus lives, so will I, now that I'm in Him. You can have that same assurance if you'll get in Him today. Why don't you come to Him right now? Hey, why don't you just bow before Him? Why don't you just humble your heart? Bow your head and say, oh God, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. I'm lost and undone. But I heard a preacher tell me that You sent Your Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, that's me. Save me now for Christ's sake. Forgive me of my sin. Record my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Seal me with Your Spirit as You wash me with His blood. And you know what He'll do? He'll seal you with His Spirit as He washes you with Your blood. Hey, hey, listen, friend. We have reason to rejoice if we're saved. Until the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEVBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ears. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.